Our gospel lesson today is a continuation of the gospel lesson that we heard last week. In fact, we have created and started a sermon series based upon the scripture readings for the next 5 weeks, because they all come from that wonderful teaching that Jesus did on the Sermon on the Mount. And I think as we look at these scriptures and we look at the way God is at work in teaching through these scriptures, what we begin to see, what we begin to understand, is that Jesus is telling us, as my disciples, let me show you the way I seek for you to walk. This is the way I want you to try to live your life, day by day. And folks, as we see it, I can tell you, you know as well as I do, we're going to hit parts of it and you're going to say, because they're hard. But today's one of those. Today's a play day. Have you figured that out already? Today's got to be a play day. And I love what the scripture has to say. It starts off with salt. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown underfoot and thrown out and trampled underfoot. And then he gets into verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, did you catch that? In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Folks, I have not always been big, but I have always been tall. That's just been a fact of life. I mean, as I started the eighth grade, I was 12 years old. I started the year, I was 5'10". When I started my freshman year of high school at 13, I was 6'4 and a half. When I started the 10th grade, I'm 6'5 and a half. When I start the 11th grade, I'm 6'6". Now, I should tell you one other little piece than that. I was 6'6", 140 pounds. Now that you've got this terrible picture in your head. But you know something? I've always found that people expect others to be as mature as they are tall. And sometimes people try to live up to the expectation of others. And so I want you to know, I've tried to be mature. I've tried to be fearless. I've tried to be confident. Oh, I remember that trip when Patty and I went to the Linville Caverns of North Carolina. I mean, you walk in, and the further you go back into the cavern, the smaller the cavern gets. And as you look around, there are bats hanging down right there above you. And then the guide begins to talk about something really stupid. The guide starts talking about total darkness. No light at all for our eyes to pick up. And then they turned out the light. I don't know about you, but my head is right up there with the bats. The lights went out, and I wanted, and suddenly there was this something taking place in the pit of my stomach. it was even worse than when I stood over top, you know, right there at the swinging bridge at Grandfather Mountain. It just it's grabbed hold of your stomach, and those aren't butterflies anymore. I don't know what those are that are doing their flips inside of me about that time. I wanted to reach out and just grab hold of Patty. But that might not be Patty I'm getting ready to grab hold of. And then I've got a whole new set of problems that I just don't want to have to deal with. Okay, so you know about me. I'm not fearless. I dislike heights. I dislike complete darkness and bats. And I hate snakes. I like walking in the light. I like to see if I'm about to step off of a cliff. I want to see where those bats are and if they're moving or not. I want to see the snakes and be able to step aside really, really quick. Jesus calls us. He says, walk in my light. Well, what does that mean for you and me as Jesus' disciples? To walk in Jesus' light. I mean, if you go back to John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Philippians 2:14-15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Did you catch that? Followers as lights of life, among whom you and I shine as lights in the world. Isn't that a great phrase? As light in the world. So I want to tell us three quick things. Number one, light is designed to be seen. I mean, Matthew 5:14-15 states, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, do they light a lamp and put a basket over it on a lampstand? And it gives off light to all who are in the house. Light is designed to be seen. Light is designed to assist others to see. We don't put that candle up there and take a bushel basket and put over top of it. Because if we were to do that, one of two things are going to happen. Either we're going to catch that basket on fire, or we're going to snuff out the candle. One of the two. Folks, that's the very same way it is for us as disciples of Jesus Christ. William Barclay said, there is no such thing as secret discipleship. For either the secrecy destroys the discipleship, or discipleship destroys the secrecy. A person's Christianity, a person's faith, should be perfectly visible to all people. So the question becomes for us today, what do you think people see with our light? Number two, light's purpose is to bring vision to the darkness. Matthew 5:16 states, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, did you catch it? The command is to glorify God through the abundance of our good works. Marshall Keeble was once heard to say, the Bible does not say to make your light shine, but it says to let it shine. So what can we do to let our light shine? Remember that song that we just had so much trouble with earlier? You know, that little light of mine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Folks, the good deeds of a Christian must not only be good, they must also be attractive. Huh? Yes. Our good deeds draw attention, not to us. Folks, if we're drawing attention to Mount Olivet, we're messing up. Who do we draw attention to? His name's Jesus. If we're drawing attention to Jesus, we're doing it right. So what good deeds are we being called to do that will draw others and to draw attention to God? So light's designed to be seen. Light's purpose is to bring vision to the darkness. And number three, light is designed to encourage change for people in darkness. Last week, you don't know how much I appreciate the fact that not only are you here, but that God's gifted you in so many different ways, and one of which is preaching. Now, I'm not saying that for any reason other than you got to stay forever. They agree. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Last week, we touched upon the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, especially the Beatitudes. And in Matthew 5:5, it says, "The blessings of the meek, they shall inherit the earth." Folks, that happens because we can speak of that confident assurance which comes to our hearts, which comes to our lives, because we know who we are and because we know whose we are. We don't have to worry about always getting our own way, because we realize God's already got it planned. God's already established the way that things are going to go. And so in that confident assurance in our lives, we realize that it doesn't have to be John's way all the time. In fact, if it's John's way, we just went down the wrong road. I've heard that there are two kinds of people in our world. There are thermostat people and thermometer people. Now, a thermometer person just will reflect the climate of the room. So if the room's cold, it's going to reflect cold. If the room's hot, it's going to reflect hot. But a thermostat can actually change the climate of the room. And so you adjust the thermostat, and it can change a very cold room into one that's warm. It can change a very hot room into one that is nice and cool. Folks, as light of the world, you and I are called to be thermostat people. I've spent 6 of the last 7 or 8 days in a workshop. I am so workshopped out. I don't even want to talk about it. I told people I had to come home so I could get some rest from workshops. I could go back to work and get some rest at work. It was the second week of a seminar. They'd finally finished. And the workshop leader looked up and he said, "Any questions?" Now, you know as well as I do, at the end of 2 weeks of workshops, you can hardly keep your eyes open. You cannot take anything more in because your backside is not going to enable you to take in anything else. And so everybody in the room is hoping Shut up, everybody. Shut up, everybody. And then you got that one person in the back. Ed, was it you? No. It wouldn't have been you. You know, that one person in the back of the room that decided to say, I got you. Who said, what's the meaning of life? And even worse, as the workshop person said, I'll answer that. And out of his wallet, he took a mirror. It was just a little bit bigger than a quarter. And he said, when I was a small child, we were poor. And one day on the road, I found a broken piece of a mirror. And I began to play with it as a toy. I was fascinated by the fact that I could reflect light into dark places. Places where the sun would never shine. In fact, it became a game for me to see how I could put light into the most inaccessible spots. Oh, what a wonderful child's game. And then I became an adult. And I grew to understand that this wasn't just a child's game. It was a metaphor for what I could do with my life. I came to understand that I'm not the light. I'm not the source of the light. I'm just a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I really don't even know. But nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of the world, into dark places in the hearts of people. I can be the catalyst for change in some people. Maybe there are even others who will do likewise. And then he took out his mirror and he began to shine his light upon the class. He slowly reflected those rays unto all that were there in the room. Jesus said, you are, we are the light of the world. Go reflect his light everywhere you go this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.